Welcome to the Holidays to Switzerland Travel Podcast. Your host is the founder of holidaystoswitzerland.com and the Switzerland Travel Planning Facebook group, Carolyn Schonefinger. On this podcast, Carolyn will be joined by a variety of guests who share their knowledge and love of the country to help you plan your dream trip to Switzerland.
Hi, and welcome to episode 23. I'm your host, Carolyn. If you're a regular listener to the podcast, you might recall that in episode 20, I spoke to Talia from Graubünden Tourism, who gave us a wonderful overview of Switzerland's largest canton and all the beautiful natural wonders that it has to offer. Today, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into one of the destinations that we mentioned in that episode, and it's St. Moritz. You may have heard of St. Moritz. It's a very glitzy and glamorous ski resort, but it also offers something for those that aren't into skiing and those that perhaps don't have the same budget as the A-listers that you may have seen photos of skiing on the slopes in St. Moritz. Today I'm joined by Dennis Bordkovich, who works for St. Moritz Tourism, and he's going to tell us lots more about this awesome destination. Now, I've only visited St. Moritz twice. Once I stayed overnight when I was doing a Best of Switzerland tour with Trafalgar Tours. That was a number of years ago. And it was, a really interesting place to stay. I was disappointed that we weren't there longer because obviously there's so much to see and do. And it's got quite a few surprises that I didn't expect. So you'll hear all about those in the episode as well. The other time I was visiting St. Moritz, it was actually just on a through trip. We were coming up from Italy, heading to, we did an overnight in Chur, which is the capital of Graubünden, on our way sort of further to the east. So it was only a very short visit. We stopped and had a picnic by the lake, which was just beautiful. Glorious, sunny summer weather. It was nature at its best. Now, a couple of other things that you might not know about St. Moritz. Twice it's hosted the Winter Olympics back in 1928 and 1948. And the oldest natural bobsleigh track in the world can be found in St. Moritz, and it's open for visitors to go and have a ride on. You don't do it by yourself. You go with a pilot, but it sounds like that would be a lot of fun. If you're not into the winter activities and you're heading to St. Moritz in summer, there's plenty to do there as well. Like all of Switzerland, it's just spectacular with the scenery. There's lakes, there's glaciers, there's mountains, plenty of opportunities for hiking and enjoying lots of outdoor pursuits, including golf for those of you that are into golf. And if you're not into that, there's shopping, there's thermal spas you can soak in, there's museums to visit. So there really is something there for everyone. So I really hope you enjoy listening to today's episode with Dennis. And if you do, I'd love it if you would leave a review on your favourite podcast app so that others out there who are planning a trip to Switzerland find the podcast and can benefit from all the tips and advice that we cover as well. Thank you and enjoy the episode. Hi, Dennis. Welcome and thank you very much for joining us today and for coming here to tell us all about St. Moritz as a destination.
Hello, Caroline. Thank you very much. And it's really a pleasure to be here on the podcast and tell you some details, some information about St. Moritz.
Excellent. Well, can you start by telling us a bit about your background and how you came to be in the tourism industry and how you came to be in St. Moritz?
Right. So I was working already 5 years in hospitality and tourism industry. Before I was actually in hotel sales involved. So afterwards I changed to tourism industry and now I'm representing the brand and the destination for almost 1.5 years. And really St. Moritz was like a coincidence. I was recruited by a hotel chain, which is based in Geneva, and yeah, they are also having a hotel here. And this is how I basically started my journey and my sales hotel sales journey in St. Moritz. And what I really think is amazing about this industry is the international clientele. It was always fascinating. And also the idea of the service excellence that is very important in our business. So I was thinking that St. Moritz is a good place to work in and get experience in and have a unique view on products and events that are taking place here.
Yeah, excellent. And it must be a great place to live and work because there's so much to see and do all year round, which we'll talk about shortly.
Definitely. Yeah, it's different for sure. You have the nature all the time in front of you. So you can go out just for a hike. It's pretty nice if you like the nature, if you like skiing in winter, for example, and taking walks, which are pretty unique here in the valley. And it's definitely different compared to a bigger city.
Absolutely. So for those listeners that might have heard of St. Moritz, but they don't know exactly where it is, can you give us a bit of a geography lesson and tell us where in Switzerland they can find St. Moritz?
Right. So St. Moritz is located on the eastern part of Switzerland, close to the border of Italy. In fact, Italy is just 40 to 50 minutes away from St. Moritz. So you can pretty much also combine, if we talk about vacations, of course, Switzerland and Italy. And you can easily reach it by all means of transport. We have even our own airport in a village of called Sameden, which is like 10 minutes away from St. Moritz. And basically, I always recommend to take the train. The journey is even part of the UNESCO World Heritage and offers a unique panoramic view. So the train ride is something that I always like to recommend for nice pictures on Instagram, for example.
Wonderful. Now, St. Moritz is credited with being the birthplace of winter tourism. So how did that all come about?
Right. So it's a pretty interesting story, in fact, which came in 1864. The famous hotelier or local hotelier Johannes Badrut made a wager with British guests to come to St. Moritz also in wintertime, not only in summertime, because back years ago, back in the days, the guests came only in summer. Mm-hmm. So he said, you know, I promise that in winter you can come. We have a very very, very sunny winter and very nice temperatures. And you don't even have to wear a jacket, right? You can just go skiing with your t-shirts and you will be completely fine. And the guests, they didn't believe him. And they made a wager and they came in winter. And of course, Badrut knew his destination very well. And they were very happy. They didn't feel cold. And this is how they spread the word about St. Moritz, that it's so sunny that the temperatures are great for skiing. And you have also the snow always. It's a pretty secure location because we are located on 1,864 meters of altitude. And this is how the tourism was basically born.
Hmm. Yeah, it is a very, very interesting story. So he put the bet out there and he got the guests, but he also won the bet.
Yeah, he wanted to, you always have to risk sometimes, and this is how he brought the guests. And yeah. Back in the days, word of mouth marketing was very vital. So this is how winter tourism started.
Yeah, wonderful. So with skiing, skiing and St. Moritz, you know, seem to go hand in hand. And I think it's because of the skiing that it's known as a pretty glamorous resort town where lots of rich and famous people are seen on the slopes. But is it also a good destination for those that don't quite have as big a budget as the film stars?
Absolutely. You don't require a $1 million budget in order to visit us in St. Moritz and enjoy all the beautiful things that are offered here. We have, in fact, many activities that are offered through our experiences shop. This could be a Vespa experience where you go in summer all the way down to Lago di Como, to the Lake Como region. And this doesn't require necessarily a huge budget, right? And we always try to work also as a destination with the hotel partners in order to create packages which are also available on the experiences shop, in order to have a fair and interesting product for all our guests, right? And I would like to mention here also the events that we are offering. You can, as a guest, of course, visit them and really feel welcome and enjoy different facets of St. Moritz.
No, great. So there's something for everyone, and I guess there's accommodation to suit every budget as well.
Oh, definitely, yes. We have over 40 hotels only in St. Moritz, ranging from 5 to 2-star category. So we have really lots of hospitality to offer. And this is what also what's part of our history and what makes us unique, is that we have this variety of products. We have variety of activities. If you are a person who likes to go skiing, for example, in winter, or who likes to just enjoy the nature for a hike, you are more than welcome to do that. But if you're interested, for example, in arts and culture, we have many boutiques and museums in the whole, not only in the village, but in the whole valley. You can also go for a cultural trip, let's say, and enjoy this, this beautiful, I call it part of the destination, right? So there is definitely lots of things to discover, especially if you're the first time here.
Yeah, okay. So what are some of the top things that most visitors, especially for the first time when they're visiting St. Moritz, what are the top things for them to see and do?
I like to recommend in summer, for example, the swim in the Lake Marsh in the afternoon, where you have a beautiful, you go swimming in the lake and you have the beautiful alpine setting in front of you. And of course, you can go up to the mountains, which are pretty close. Our home mountain is Corvilia, which we're going to talk about later, right? And you can enjoy really the nature, but also the culinary highlights that we have to offer. And what I would like to mention is that we have a very strong brand throughout the since basically winter tourism was born. You have lifestyle, culinary highlights, arts and culture, sports and well-being, and the tradition. So it really combines the whole brand identity, combines many activities, and this is really unique, and you will not find it in another alpine destination for sure.
Hmm. And two things that that I found interesting. One, I guess not many people know, is that St. Moritz is actually home to its very own Leaning Tower. And secondly, there's a long history with thermal spas in St. Moritz. So can you give us a little bit more info about those two things?
Right. Regarding the Leaning Tower, that's actually true. It's the most leaning tower in Europe. So, it's pretty amazing because you can directly see it from the Kulm Hotel from a different angle. And actually, the bell was removed, so it doesn't lean anymore, which might get a bit dangerous. This is true. And the thermal spas, we have a different, of course, different opportunities to go for spas in the hotels, as we have several 5-star hotel in the destination. But there are different spas, like we have here, just newly opened the Overwerver, which is a public spa, and then there is one in the village called Sameden, which is 10 minutes away from St. Moritz, where you can also enjoy a spa, basically. So if you have interest in spa and really want to relax, for example, We are a very good destination as we have, again, the nature combined with all these great opportunities for spas.
Yeah, and the village itself is actually divided sort of into two parts, isn't it? There's St. Moritz Dorf and St. Moritz Bad. For those listeners that don't speak German, Bad is the German word for bath, and is that where the original thermal baths were found?
Yes, this is true. So we have the village, which is kind of the city center, and if you go lower, you find St. Moritz Bad, and actually the first spa was established in the Grand Hotel de Bahn Kempinski, where you also will find a special water from the Mauritius spring. And this water, it's really unique. You once you taste it, you feel the iron inside. You feel the different composition of the water. It's very healthy. And this is where basically in the 19th century, the spa or the thermal, the health aspect of St. Moritz evolved.
Very interesting. Now, you mentioned before Corvilla, I think that's how you pronounce it, the closest mountain. And there's quite a few mountain excursions that people can do from St. Moritz, isn't there? So could you tell us a little bit about those and what sort of activities and things they can do on each mountain?
Right. So, yeah, first of all, Corvilla is our home mountain. It's, you can take it from the cable car station, which is called Signal, or Chanterella, for example, directly from the village or from St. Moritz Bad. Then we have the Korvac mountain, which has 3,303 meters. It's one of the highest mountains here in the valley, where you can also go skiing and snowboarding and so on. And then we have the Diavoletsa, which is basically on the other side of Korvac. It's taking like 25 minutes to go there by car, 20 minutes by train. And then I always recommend Muertas Morai Mountain, which offers a beautiful and fantastic panoramic view throughout the valley. And I always also like to go there in my spare time. And regarding the excursion, so you basically the Corvilla and the Pitzneyer, which is shortly just above 3,000 meters. It really combines, connects both peaks, and you can enjoy all parts of winter activities. You can go, for example, on a snow hiking trip with a tour guide. So we have really excursions to offer in all of these mountains, and also if you like to experience the so-called free nature, the untouched nature, you can organize, for example, or your respective hotel tour guide in order to see and enjoy the nature.
Okay, and I guess there's also plenty of hiking and things that you can do in summer. And are there restaurants and things at the mountain peaks if someone wants to just go up there and take in the views and perhaps have a meal or a drink?
You are free to go, but what we always recommend is if you are an inexperienced hiker or you're maybe the first time here, we always try to recommend to get a tour guide to be on the safe side. But of course, you can climb the mountain basically and really be on your own with your family, for example, and enjoy the nature. So this is really a great part and really nice to do here, as the valley is so unique, not only in Switzerland, but in Europe. Hiking is definitely a very, very popular activity here.
Mm. And the funiculars and cable cars that take people up to those mountaintops, do they operate all year round?
They are not operating all year round. So we are right now a seasonal destination. The main season is the winter season and the summer season. And the cable cars are operating in winter from November to April approximately, and in summer from June to October. And during this time, you can use the services and go to the mountain peaks that's not a problem at all.
Excellent. Now, is there a special place that someone should visit or an experience that they should have that is probably not very well known, a little, you know, a secret thing that you think someone should do when they visit St. Moritz?
As I mentioned, I really like the Muertes Morai. Once you go up there, you really feel the peace. You can then afterwards go hiking from Muertes Morai from this specific location. And I mean, it's really the peace that I like about the mountains once you go up. And then, of course, the many lakes that we have. I mean, Switzerland has in total over 2,000 lakes, and we have one of the most beautiful ones here. So in summer, I really always recommend to go to the lakes and have a nice swim. The water is really nice in summer. It's like 20, 21 degrees. Super mild, and this is what I always recommend. So it really depends, of course, what you like. As mentioned, we have so many activities that you can experience if you are a culinary highlights enthusiast, if you're a sports enthusiast, there are different things that you can experience.
Okay, and you mentioned their culinary highlights. Is there a specialty dish to the area that we should try?
Yes, we have a very special cake which is called the Engadina Nusstorte, and you will always find it in the village center of St. Moritz, of course, also in the supermarkets partially. And this cake, for example, is how you call it, kind of a part of the destination. So I really recommend trying it, and it's pretty sweet, and I think it's a great product.
Yeah, wonderful. So have that with a cup of coffee and sit back and enjoy all those beautiful views.
Yes, for example. Yeah, but you shouldn't eat too much because it's pretty sweet and it has lots of calories. So you should have a few pieces and that's fine. And then you are feeling great. You have the energy to go up to the mountains, right?
Yeah, then you have to walk off all those calories.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned before about the train, that you recommend people take the train because it's a UNESCO World Heritage designated line. That would be the Bernina Express, or the Rhaetian Railway that the Bernina Express travels on. Is that right?
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit more about that? And if someone is staying in, obviously they can come to St. Moritz or depart on the Bernina Express, but can they just do a shorter trip on it if they're staying in St. Moritz for a couple of days?
Definitely. So, the Bernina Express, it's going from St. Moritz to Tirano, which is an alpine Italian village, and takes like 1.5 to 2 hours. And I always like to recommend it for a day trip. And if I talk to our guests, I always say you can very nicely combine your Italian vacation with your Swiss vacation, for example, and vice versa. So the Bernina Express offers a great opportunity to see Alpine Italy and then go back up to St. Moritz in order to spend 2 nights, for example, in St. Moritz, then take the Glacier Express and go, for example, all the way to Zermatt, which is located on the other side, basically, of Switzerland. So you can really, the infrastructure is so well established. You can really see many different parts of Switzerland and combine St. Moritz or even Switzerland in your itinerary if you go to Italy, if you like to go on a European vacation. So this is really great.
Yeah, and I think St. Moritz is lucky in that aspect, because many visitors, particularly that are coming to Switzerland, they want to do the Glacier Express ride, or they want to do the Bernina Express ride, and St. Moritz being sort of right in the middle of both of them, it's a perfect opportunity to do both the train rides and to stay in St. Moritz for a couple of days as well.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely. The Glacier Express is a very great product. It's a way to see many beautiful landscapes of Switzerland, and it has launched also a so-called excellence class, where you can really enjoy the F&B. Like, they have a kind of a bar on the Glacier Express, and you are getting a whole menu, and you at the same time while you eat, you have those amazing views, and it's basically like a driving restaurant kind of. And I always like to recommend the Glacier Express for your journey, yeah, and to see Switzerland.
Sure. And of course, you can come to St. Moritz by car as well. What would be the driving distance from say Zurich or from Milan if people are coming from Italy?
Approximately 3 hours. This is the driving time from Zurich and from Milano from the airports. And you really have the opportunity to see the different passes once you take a car, once you rent a car. And this is also possible. Basically, the two main hubs to fly in are Zurich International Airport and Milano Malpensa Airport. And this is how you best reach St. Moritz, either by car, by train. As mentioned before, we have our own airport. So for guests who would like to take a charter, for example, take the private jet even, they can basically land in Samaden and drive 10 minutes to St. Moritz, and they're there.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. I'll let you know when I'm going to fly my private jet in, and you can come and pick me up.
Yeah, I always I like to do that. I will bring some champagne, some ice cold champagne.
Perfect.
And then we have a glass of champagne.
Wonderful. Earlier on, you mentioned about with the winter tourism and the sun and the nice warm temperatures in winter. So obviously, whatever time of the year we choose to visit St. Moritz, the weather's going to be pretty good. What are the sort of the average temperatures that people can expect in St. Moritz?
Right. So we have 322 days of sun a year, which is really a lot.
And, yeah, that's great.
You should definitely not forget your sunglasses and your sun cream if you're planning your next trip to St. Moritz, both in winter and in summer. Mm-hmm. So in summer, it's pretty mild. We have around 25 degrees Celsius in July and August. In June now we have like 23, really depends, of course, on the day. And in winter, usually minus 15 to minus 20. But the great thing is that you really don't feel the minus 15 to minus 20 degrees Celsius at all because of the sun. And it's pretty warm in winter. You have this amazing winter wonderland, and you're going skiing and you don't feel the cold temperatures at all. So this is kind of in a nutshell the breakdown of the temperatures. It really depends. January, February is the coldest months. These are approximately the temperatures.
Okay. Minus 15 sounds pretty cold to someone who comes from Australia, but I'll believe you when you say that when the sun's out, it doesn't feel that cold.
For sure. No, it's you really don't feel it. No, I live here almost 3 years, and winter is, even though you hear these numbers, it's okay. It's pretty warm, especially once the sun is really up there and you're on the slopes, you really don't feel it.
Yeah, you must be skiing very, very hard and fast then to stay really warm.
Yeah, exactly. That's a guarantee, yeah. If you do that, then you will be okay.
Very good. Okay, well, I think you've really tempted many of our listeners to include St. Moritz in their itinerary when they come to Switzerland. But before you go, can you just tell us what is it, in your opinion, that makes St. Moritz a must-visit destination?
Right. I think that what's really great about St. Moritz is the metropolitan flair that you experience here in the middle of the Alps. And it's really uniting many people from all over the world every year. And I think this is a fantastic setting to meet your family here, to celebrate, to do many different and unique activities here in the Alps. And this really is an important setting of St. Moritz. And this is why I think St. Moritz is in Switzerland and in Europe as a destination, a must-visit place.
It definitely sounds like it. And I've only had the pleasure of staying there for one night. But yes, I definitely hope to return and spend longer and visit many of those mountaintops and thermal spas and things that we've talked about.
Definitely. And I have already put the champagne in the fridge. So let me know if you come with your private jet. I'll be very, very happy to welcome you.
Thank you so much. Now, in the show notes for today's episode, I will link to the St. Moritz website. You mentioned there about the experiences shop. Is that what it was called?
Yes, this is correct. We have a new experiences shop where we have great packages, great products to experience, and I really recommend it to check this this experience shop and find your next product once you go to Switzerland.
Great. All right. So I'll include a link to that in the show notes, as well as a couple of other guides that I have on holidays to Switzerland about St. Moritz and Graubünden. And people can find those show notes at holidaystoswitzerland.com/episode23. Thank you very much again, Dennis, for joining us. And I hope to see you in St. Moritz very soon.
Thank you very much, Caroline. And yes, it was really a pleasure to be part of the podcast. And hopefully see you all soon in St. Moritz.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. For more great resources on planning a trip to Switzerland, make sure you visit holidaystoswitzerland.com, where you'll find trip planning tips, destination guides, information on transport, including Swiss rail passes, and much more. You're also encouraged to join the Switzerland Travel Planning Group on Facebook, where you can ask questions and chat to other past and future travellers to Switzerland. You'll find show notes from today's episode at holidaystoswitzerland.com/podcast, and be sure to subscribe to the Holidays to Switzerland Travel podcast so you never miss an episode.